Service now. So I thank all of you for being present. And I pray that the Lord will speak to each one of us today. Well, the story is told of a farmer and his son who were working together out in the field. The father told the boy to throw the large stones he could find into a nearby ditch, so they will not interfere with plowing. And those of you who grew up on the farm know how important that is. After working a long time, the son called out, "Dad, there's one rock here I can't move, even though I've tried my hardest." "No, son," replied the father, "you haven't tried your hardest until you've called out to me for help. I can give you the strength you need." The father then came alongside the boy and added his strength. Together, they moved the stubborn rock with ease. You see, too often, we try our hardest to carry some heavy burden or work out a difficult problem, but with no success. After having done our best, we wonder why we have met with nothing but failure. How many of you know here what I'm talking about? Well, the good news for us is that lovingly, graciously, and patiently, our Heavenly Father reminds all true believers that we must learn to depend on Him and that we haven't tried our hardest until we've called on Him for help in our circumstances in life.
Let me change the battery out of here. Try that.
So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's lasting and life-changing truth in order to transform or to change true, genuine, born-again believers among us here today, more into the blessed image of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we sang, and to convict unbelievers among us here of their sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, please, here's my message in a nutshell. You haven't tried your hardest. I'm trying to get this. I need a technician to help me.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh man, you can do this. You can do it.
You haven't tried your hardest as a child of God until you've called on Him for help in your trials. To say it in another way, you haven't done your very best as a believer in Jesus until you have cried out to Him for help in your troubles. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to freshly and forcefully set before us today in a vivid example of this biblical teaching that you haven't tried your hardest until you have called on God for help. In David will be the example for you and for me today. The shepherd boy who became the sweet psalmist of Israel, a king, a prophet, and the man after God's own heart. You see, again and again, David called upon the Lord his God for help. Why? Why did he do that? Well, it's because David knew that as a child of his heavenly Father, he hadn't tried his hardest until he's called unto his God for help. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Psalm 18, verse 4 to 6. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this psalm from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible into our English language. The Bible says, "The cords of death encompass me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I call upon the Lord. In my distress, I call upon the Lord. And my cry for help, and cry to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. He heard my voice out of his temple." He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. This psalm, Psalm 18, is referred to as a royal psalm. This is because it celebrates the way that God has shown his love to his people by giving them David as their king and by preserving David through many, many dangers. Actually, if you are a good Bible student, you find that Psalm 18 is almost identical to 2 Samuel chapter 22. If you turn there now, you find that they are almost identical. They both celebrated the Lord's deliverance of David from Saul and the securing of David's kingdom. In fact, that victory was a brief and miniature picture of what the final victory of David's great son, Jesus, will be at the end of the age. So this psalm looks forward to Jesus, the victor and conqueror over all evil. And if you are here today and you needed victory in your life, Jesus is here to supply, to provide that victory in your life. After declaring his love for the Lord in verse 1 of chapter 18, he says, "I love you, O Lord." And depicting the Lord God with five vivid military metaphors, both defensively and offensively. You know, David was a warrior, so he knows that military maneuvers are not only offensive, they have defensive parts to their maneuvers. So he describes God in this vivid military metaphors. First he says, "My rock, a rock that can't be moved by any who harm us." That is believers. "A fortress or a place of safety where the enemy can't follow." When you are in that fortress of God, the enemy will not be permitted into that fortress. He describes God also as "my shield," a shield that comes between us, that is believers, and harm. He also describes God as "the horn of my salvation." That expression is a symbol of might and power. That is when you see God on the offensive. When the Bible uses that expression to describe God, it's describing him being on the offensive, taking the fight to the enemy. And then he describes him as "my stronghold, high above our enemies." And describing the harrowing and heart-sinking experiences of being snared by death, which is here personified as a hunter with a cord and net. That's why he says, "the snares of death confronted me." The snares of death encompassed me, or the cords of death. And finally, David demonstrates to us that as a child of God, you haven't tried your hardest until you have called out on God for his help in your difficulties. And we see this so clearly in verse 6, which is the main focus of the message God has given me today to deliver to you. I tell you, folks, the message in verse 6 of Psalm 18, you can underline it in your Bible, is so simple and so straightforward. But God has given me the privilege today to present it to you in a fresh and relevant way, so that all who have ears to hear and hearts to receive and respond to it will gain fresh hope and confidence in reaching out to Jesus Christ for his help today, in all honesty and humility of heart, in their times of trouble. You see, sometimes we just need fresh hope to be given to us. And I pray today will be that day for you, where you will gain fresh hope to reach out to Jesus Christ in a way that will make a difference both today and for eternity in your life. Now, would you please notice the first simple and straightforward spiritual lesson preserved for us by the Holy Spirit in this verse. Verse 6. It has to do with David's humble and honest confession of facing hard times. I like David because he's very honest, he's very humble. Please notice how verse 6 begins. It begins with David's sincere and heartfelt words of confessing to God that he is facing tough and trying times. That is why we hear him at the beginning of verse 6, "in my distress." The Hebrew says, "batali." In distress, mine. Literally, that is how it reads. By these few words, David describes a particular danger that threatened to snuff out his life. The Hebrew word translated distress, tsar, also means adversity, anguish, trouble, or to be in straits. You see, David is admitting that he's in a desperate and difficult situation. So the Bible is teaching us an important and simple lesson here. And that is, when you, a child of God, are facing tough and trying times, listen carefully now. Tell it like it is to God. Tell it like it is to God. Please, don't try to sugarcoat it by saying, well, I just have an issue. Like so many people say today, if they are facing tough times, I have this issue, I have this issue. Please don't shy away from telling it like it is to Jesus. And I want to leave this message with you to be in your mouth so that the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind again and again. So everyone, please say with me, tell it like it is to Jesus.
Tell it like it is to Jesus.
Good. In a few moments, you have the opportunity of telling it like it is, not to me, but to Jesus, who is here to respond to your cry. Actually, David was not the only one who told it like it is to God while facing tough and trying times in his life. Remember the prophet Jonah. I call him the runaway prophet. God told him, go to Nineveh. And the prophet Jonah decided, I'm going in the opposite direction. But whilst in the belly of the big fish, Jonah told it like it is to God. He says in Jonah chapter 2 verse 2, I call out in my distress to the Lord. The same Hebrew word. Now, unlike David, the prophet Jonah was blatantly disobedient to God. But here's what I want you to see. Even though he was blatantly disobedient to God, when it came time to tell it to God like it is, he did that. And that is what you and I can do. Whether we are walking in obedience to God and facing tough times, or whether we have disobeyed God and now facing tough times, the lesson is that we can tell it to God like it is, because he knows all about it. Well, after his humble and honest confession of facing hard times, the Holy Spirit now brings us or turns our attention to David's cry to the Lord his God for help. You see, David knew that he hadn't tried his hardest until he had called upon the Lord his God for help, for his assistance, or for his aid. That is why the Bible says in the second part of verse 6, I, not someone else, I, David, call upon the Lord and cry to my God for help. So tonight, you have the opportunity to say, I call upon the Lord and cry to my God for help. Now, please notice very carefully that David uses two simple and significant expressions to reveal how desperate he is for God's help in his desperate situation. Are you desperate for Jesus' help in your desperate and difficult circumstances today? If you are, you can learn afresh these simple lessons from David's life. The first simple yet significant expression David used is that I called upon the Lord. Now the question is, what does it mean to call upon the Lord? Well, the Hebrew word translated call from the verb kara also means to call aloud, to call out loudly in order to get someone's attention so that contact can be initiated. It also means a special appeal to God Almighty to display His power in my life, in my circumstances, for his honor. It also means to summon God's aid. It is usually addressed to a specific recipient, that is God, and intended to elicit a specific response. So I'm calling specifically to God, and I'm expecting a specific response from God. Usually the context has to do with a critical and chronic need in the person's life. So to put it in simple and practical terms, to call upon the Lord means this. Listen carefully, that I am telling the Lord, Lord, I'm calling out to you to get your attention to deal with the critical and chronic need in my life. I'm not interested in getting the attention of other people. I'm only interested in getting your attention, because if I get your attention, I know I have everything in my way. Everything that I need will be supplied if I get your attention. It means I'm trusting the Lord Jesus as the true and trustworthy source of my help, as a direct and dependable source of my help, as the ready and reliable source of my help. It means that I am trusting the Lord, my God, the Lord of my life, to display his power, supernatural power, in my life, in my circumstance, for the honor of his name. It means I am taking my eyes off my own ability to fix the problems in my life. That is to say, Lord, today I stop struggling to remove the stones of trouble and difficulty from my life that far exceed my own puny little strength. This is what David did when he called upon the Lord, leaving us an example to follow. So, for those of you who are believers among us here today, let me ask you first. Do you make a special appeal to Jesus to display his power in your life and circumstances? A special appeal to him. You put everything aside and say, Jesus, today I'm coming to you to display your power in my life and circumstance. Believer, let me ask you today, do you call on Jesus to get his attention to deal with the trials in your life? Or you are calling to get somebody else's attention? Believer, do you trust Jesus alone as the true source and trustworthy source of your help in your crisis? I mean, do you trust Jesus alone as a true and trustworthy source of your help in your crisis and in all other circumstances of life? Or are you struggling in your own failing and feeble strength to remove the stones of trouble and difficulty in your own life? Well, the second simple and significant expression employed by David in his seeking of God's help is very important. So listen carefully. In this dire situation he found himself, he says, "And I cry to my God for help." You see, David didn't let his pride get in his way of seeking the help of Almighty God. Too often, people, rich or poor, great or small, black or white, young or old, educated or uneducated, men or women, let their pride get in their way of seeking the help of Jesus. David says, I'm not going to let my pride get in the way of seeking the help of God. I tell you, friends, to cry out to Jesus for help takes humility of heart. How many of you here came to the chapel today with the desire to cry out to to Jesus for his help from the bottom of your heart. If you are one of those people, please say with me, Jesus, I need your help today. Amen. I need your help. Now the question is, what does it mean to cry to my God for help? Well, again, the Hebrew word helps us. The Hebrew word translated cried is shavah. It denotes an intense or higher pitch shout for help. It is used to describe the cry of anguish, the cry of the oppressed, the cry of those who are approaching the breaking point. Now, suppose you are caught in a raging house fire and you desperately need to get out. How do you cry for help to get your neighbor's attention? Now, you don't take the phone and call 911. In David's days, there were no phone and there were no 911. And you don't say in a soft voice, I need help. Rather, you, with everything within you, you shout for, I need help! It's, in other words, you are taking your cry to Jesus for help to the next level. You are stepping it up. You are stepping it up. So crying out to Jesus for help means taking my cry for help to Jesus to the next level. I'm stepping it up. You know how to step up things. Well, the same thing here. You step up your cry to Jesus, admitting to him, Jesus, I desperately need you. I desperately need your help. I'm approaching the breaking point. Please release your supernatural power into my life and into my circumstances. Remember the story of the two blind men sitting by the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, the Bible says they cried out to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Now, you know the story. The crowd following Jesus tried to silence them. But the Bible says they took it up to the next level. They stepped up, they're crying out to God and said, they cried. The Bible says they cried out all the more saying, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And you know the rest of the story, what happened? Jesus honored their cry for help. Let me ask you, believer in Jesus, are you willing to step up your cry to Jesus for his help in your life? Have you taken your cry for help to Jesus to the next level? Or is it at the same old level? You see, friends, David and the blind man were not disappointed, and you and I will not be disappointed when we cry or take our cry for help to the next level. Now please listen carefully. David's cry to the Lord, his God, for help was not in vain. It was not a futile spiritual exercise. But you say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible shares with us the comforting response of God to David's cry for help. The Bible shares these comforting words to encourage us today that our crying out to Jesus will not be in vain. Notice the Bible says, he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. In his deep distress, David had the blessed assurance that his cry for help was heard and answered. Remember, we sang the hymn about talking about the blessed assurance. Well, you can have that blessed assurance when you pray to God, calling to him. So having that blessed assurance is one of the greatest gifts God has given to you and me here on earth. That we can pray to God and have a blessed assurance in our hearts that he has heard and he's answered and he will be working. Now, David says, he heard my voice out of his temple. So the question is, what temple is David speaking of here? Well, the temple David speaks of here is not a temple in Jerusalem. But you ask, how do you know that for sure? Well, the Jerusalem temple was built after David's death. So the temple refers to here is God's heavenly dwelling place, which is both his palace and temple. And as much as God sits enthroned there, being worshipped by the heavenly hosts. David says, listen carefully, I pray here on earth, but God hears me in heaven. Please listen, David's experience can be yours today. David's life vividly teaches us that you haven't tried your hardest as a child of God until you've called on him for help in your distress. In other words, you haven't done your very best as a believer in Jesus Christ until you have cried out to Jesus for his help in your difficulties. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, please, I want you to rely on the Holy Spirit to do as David did. What did David do? Confess honestly and humbly to Jesus that you are facing hard times. Joblessness. Jail time facing you. Failing health. Family problems. Fear of the future. Financial hardships. Depression. Discouragement. Even drug addiction. In other words, tell it like it is to Jesus today. Call out to Jesus today as your true and trustworthy source of help. Cry out to Jesus today with everything within you. That is, step it up. Take your crying out to Jesus to the next level. Don't leave here and leave it at the same old level. And so if you are a believer who needs to step up your cry to the Lord, come forward and we will join you and support you in crying out to the Lord for your specific situation, whether it be financial difficulties or family problems or jail time facing you or joblessness. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you do not have a true and trustworthy source of help in your difficulties. You do not have a dependable source of help in your distress. You are on your own and you are under the power of the devil. But all that can change for you today at this moment. How? You simply turn to Jesus just as you are. You tell Jesus that you are a sinner and you trust Jesus with simple childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right relationship with God. So the ball is now in your court. Today, God is telling you that you too can cry out to God and say, in my addiction, I cry out to the Lord. And he answered me. Who wants to receive that blessing? Whatever your situation, you can cry out to the Lord today and receive that blessing. So if you are not a believer, you come to me. But those who are believers, you come here and we'll be praying with you right now. And you can get that spiritual boost you need to face the challenges of tomorrow. So step up to the plate and take it to the next level.